Welcome to the Weekly Dose of Torah. My name is Rabbi Avi Heller. I'm the Director of Education at the Manhattan Jewish Experience. Our parsha this week is Mishpatim, but our topic for the Weekly Dose of Torah is Let It Snow. This week's dose is generously sponsored by Mark and Shannon Agrodsky, and it's also sponsored by Eitan Rate, in memory of his father, Chezkel Moshe Ben Yaakov HaKohen, whose yahrzeit is this week. If you want to sponsor a dose, send an email to rabbiavi@jewishexperience.org. Let It Snow. This week, I've decided to depart from my usual practice in order to discuss the topic of snow in Judaism. There are three possible reasons for doing this. One, it's what we call Inyana Dioma, the topic of the day, based on the large drifts of snow that have become a regular part of my Manhattan landscape. Two, because this is the weekend of the MJE ski trip, even though I'm not going, and we actually have more fresh powder here in the city than they will have up in Vermont. Third, because in this week's Torah portion, Moshe Rabbeinu Moses, ascends the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights at God's invitation. God says to him in Exodus 24, verse 12, Ale Eli Hahara, come up to me on the mountain. Now, I'm not saying that Moshe was skiing up there or anything. He was busy doing more important things like receiving the Torah. But if there was one place that he might have found snow, it would have been up on the mountain. In any case, there are very interesting traditions about snow in the Jewish tradition. Perhaps the most famous snow story is found in the Talmud, in Yoma, about the great sage Hillel before he was a great sage. Hillel used to make a small pittance each day in his manual trade, and he would bank half of his salary for this and his family needs, and spend half of his salary on the door feet of the local Beit Midrash, which is a study hall. His needs were probably few, and one hopes that the fee for studying Torah was not too much. But one sad Friday, he struck out completely, and he had no money to bring home, and no money to get into the Beit Midrash. After being stopped by the bouncer at the door, he climbed up to the roof and into the skylight, where he pressed his ear against the window to hear the sweet teachings of Torah of the two master teachers of that generation, Shemaya and Avtalion. It snowed all night. The next morning, Shemaya said to Avtalion, Avtalion, my brother, the house is usually light in the morning, but today it's dark. Is it still cloudy outside? They both looked up and saw the frozen shape of a man in the skylight. They immediately went to rescue him, and says the Talmud, found him buried under 3 amot, which is equivalent to several feet. New Yorkers will be used to that by now, of snow. He was probably not in good shape, so they had to tend to him and warm him up, but it must have become clear to them the level of commitment the young man had to his Torah study. The story ends with their impressed words, "This is a man for whom it was worthwhile to violate the Shabbat." Even in the snow, penniless on a Friday night, he did not want to miss his regular learning. Consider that Hillel probably had no books of his own, no money, and that such a heavy storm was surely unusual. The snow was a test of his commitment, and with the help of his teachers, he passed. Snow is most often associated in Jewish thought, not with its coldness, but with its color. Sometimes this is in a negative light, as when Moshe's hand turns diseased, leprous-like snow. This is in Shemot, in Exodus chapter 4, verse 6. Though the turning of Moshe's hand into a leprous whiteness, as white as snow, is still a part of the sign that God has sent Moshe, and that a people that is diseased and beaten down, like his hand, can still be saved from Egypt. When Moshe returns his hand to his vest, his hand becomes healed again. Many times, though, white snow is actually a symbol of youth, of innocence, and forgiveness. It can also be a symbol of old age, but we'll focus on youth, innocence, and forgiveness today, like the white dresses worn by brides, or the red string tied outside the temple on Yom Kippur that was supposed to turn white when the sins of the Jews had been forgiven. In Yeshaya, in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, the prophet says the famous line, "If your sins are like scarlet string, they can be whitened like sheleg, like snow, kasheleg yalbinu." It's interesting that it's not only the color of the snow that gives this impression of forgiveness and getting rid of sin, but also the way it covers over everything. All the imperfections of the ground are smoothed over by a white blanket of pure fresh snow, like forgiveness, which covers over the imperfections of our past misdeeds. Of course, one of the problems of snow is that it's temporary. It will melt, and then you'll be able to see everything again. The snowpack of the mountains becomes the spring flow of the rivers. This brevity has halachic ramifications as well. It's both the reason it might be permitted to make a snowball on Shabbat. After all, since it's a temporary thing, it cannot be the forbidden act of building. It will either melt quickly or fall apart upon impact. And it's also why one should be careful with snow on Shabbat, because melting snow on purpose by crushing in order to make water is something that's forbidden on Shabbat. Also, even when a river turns to ice, the frozen surface is still considered water under Jewish law, not a new ground surface. Even though it's hard now, it will soon melt. This is why also in exigent circumstances, one may actually wash their hands for bread by immersing them in snow, because really the snow is still water. This is a tremendously great thing to know on a ski trip if you have a sandwich and no water. You have to ask your rabbi for particulars about how much snow and how it has to be arranged and how you do it, but it can be done. Snow brings up many other halachic issues of wide diversity. For instance, one may shovel their walk on Shabbat and sprinkle salt if it is in order to prevent injury to passersby. It may be permitted to do it at other times as well, but certainly if you're concerned that someone will hurt themselves. A person could eat snow, but you would still have to say the blessing of Shehakol Nihya Bidvaro and a short Borei Nefashot prayer afterwards. One might even be able to make a mikvah, a ritual pool of water out of snow, though some authorities require it to be at least partially melted. Further, one has to consider whether or not it's permitted to take snow from a neighbor's property, whether it's permitted to disturb one's neighbors with loud snowblower noises early in the morning or late at night, and whether or not it might violate biblical prohibitions of striking or taking revenge, both forbidden by the Torah, if one mercilessly pummels their friend with well-packed snowballs. Lastly, there is something ethereal and divine about snow. Angels are often viewed as if they are clothed in white. Interesting, usually when they appear as humans, not as angels. Similarly, the prophet Daniel has a vision of the Ancient of Days, Atik Yomin, where the Ancient of Days sits upon his throne and he is dressed in a garment as white as snow. That's Daniel chapter 7, verse 9. Though God's presence is also generally accompanied by thunder, lightning, fire, smoke, and noise, it seems that whiteness, and perhaps also snow, surrounds the divine throne. Based on a verse in Eov, in Job, that's chapter 37, verse 6, the verse goes, "He commands the snow to the ground." Now, the simple interpretation of this might be that God simply commands the snow to fall from the heavens to the ground, but the Jerusalem Talmud comments and reads this verse as that God commanded the snow to become the ground. In other words, the world was created from snow, from the divine snow surrounding Hashem's throne. Whether you find the new snow to be a hassle and a hindrance, especially if your flights were canceled or you had trouble getting to work, or beautiful and fun, as I found it when I went sledding with my children today, I hope you will think about snow symbolism in our heritage this Shabbat. If God will grant us as much forgiveness this year as He has bequeathed us snow, it will be a very white Yom Kippur I'll be dreaming of this year. Shabbat Shalom.